Did you see a little more aggression out of Sam on Sunday in terms of first down field, or was he just taking simply what was given to him and what you guys thought he could take advantage of?
I think he was taking what was given to him, what we thought we could take advantage of.
So Zach Ertz had, I think, 220 yards receiving at this point last year. It's just about 100 this year. So yesterday he's doing a lot of blocking. More blocking. I mean, how do you see his role in the offense?
Well, I think he started slow coming off the injury. You know, he didn't have preseason camp. Obviously, had surgery, so and really didn't get cleared. We weren't sure until the week of the Atlanta game if we were even going to have him for that game. So, I think he's progressed nicely. You know, we were happy that we got him back. He's obviously a weapon for us. He is doing a better job blocking. You know, and I think that's part of what he's really wanted to improve on, so he can be on the field more, and he has been on the field more. But I think the numbers for everybody on offense are down just because we haven't been successful on the offensive side of the ball.
Chip, the run game obviously hasn't been where you want it to be, but mm-hmm. It seems to have been a little bit better when Ryan has gotten the ball compared to when DeMarco has. Is that just chance? Is it
no, rocking? I mean, I thought DeMarco did a nice job. Had popped a 30-yarder. And when you look at the numbers overall and study him over four games, you also have to remember DeMarco didn't play versus the Jets. So, you know, I think that's part of it, that there was a game that he missed in there. So. We need to get all those guys going, to be honest with you.
I'm not talking just the aggregate, though. I'm talking about, you know, yards per carry, that sort of thing.
Yeah, again, I think there's not enough data for you to just say that this is better than that, because one of them didn't play in the one game where we had success running the football. So,
well, you have two guys that have said this week that they're going to try to play through injuries. And, you know, I mean, given the state of the team, are you going to just trust them, or will you have to see something in warm-up?
We got to see through training this week and what goes on the practice field, and then where we are on Sunday in terms of that, and make a determination on who can go and who can't go. Because if you can only go for, you know, we had a couple guys that just went for a couple of plays on Sunday, you can't then resub and say, hey, we need to activate somebody else. You got to live with it. So we'll have to make some determinations as we get to Sunday.
You think you have to make a roster move?
What's that? You talk to Alan about that.
Chip, you'll have to make a roster move, maybe?
No, we don't anticipate doing that right now.
Chip, on third downs, what do you see are the issues on third downs and how to correct
them? I think a lot of it goes to first and second down. You know, and I think we're lack of success on first and second down. I got to do a better job play calling, put us in better situations. So we've got, you know, we got a little bit manageable third down situation in terms of always being in third and long. Percentage-wise, you're not gonna convert as much as you are going to convert on third and short and third and medium. So I think it's an effort for us to do a better job on first and second down.
And Peters was one of those players that was only able to go a handful of snaps last week. Somebody who's had arguably a Hall of Fame career to this point, what have you seen from him in the first 4 weeks as he's been struggling through injury?
Yeah, he just only got injured in the last game, so I think he played well against Atlanta and Dallas and the other one in the Jets game. It's just we couldn't get what we needed from him because he's hurt, you know, and that's just, you know, he's as tough a guy as I've been around here in the 3 years I've been here, and if he can go, he will go. But he's a guy we really got to kind of take a real good look at this week in terms of what he can give us.
In COVID space, he's your starting right guard and your backup left tackle. Mm-hmm. But Jason, uncertain. How do you manage Tobin during the week?
Well, it depends. Could be Lane at left tackle. You know, we got a couple combinations that we can work there. We've got to get through. Today and tomorrow are our two big work days during the week, and then Friday and Saturday we'll take a look at where we are, and we've got, you know, really four days to take a look at kind of the combinations we can have in there if Jason can't go.
What did Sam do right on that scramble? 16-yard scramble.
To Selleck.
When he scrambled and ran himself and
they were just in two. We caught him in a coverage. They were in two man. They rushed four guys and they didn't have a contained rusher on the right side. So everybody had their back to him. You know, it's happened to us a couple times. I think when you do play two man or that type of coverage and you don't have anybody responsible for the quarterback, then you have to be very conscious of where your rush lanes were. And the rush lane on the right side got collapsed, so he kind of got flushed to that side because there was a push in the pocket. And then as he came out and he was looking to throw the ball, everybody was in coverage and had their backs turned to him. So obviously he felt like he could pick it up with his legs, and he did. So good, smart decision on his part.
Moving Lane to left tackle, if he can play and Jason can't, is an option?
Yes, it is.
Is Lane going to practice?
What's that?
Is Lane going to be able to practice left tackle?
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to just do it if he doesn't practice less.
He hasn't.
He didn't practice yesterday, no. But we still have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday to
we practice go. Today.
So he'll be limited today.
Matt Tobin and what you saw him, and you had to put him outside.
Yeah, he's played both, and I think to be a backup in this league, you have to have versatility. So he's a guard tackle for us. Josh Anders is a center guard for us. Dennis Kelly is a guard tackle for us. I thought he competed. You know, he competed really well When he went out there, he had limited number of snaps because you're really training your ones when you get into the season. So he had limited number of snaps at tackle, had a lot more snaps at tackle in the preseason. But when we had to kick him out there after, I think it was six plays that Jason played, he competed when he was out there. And that's the one thing you'll get out of Matt is he'll fight when he's in there. So,
Chip, how do you explain these slow starts? And is it Sam working with this new players, new offensive line, the offensive line? How do you explain
this? I think a lot of that's on us coaching-wise. We've got to put them in better situations and plays, and specifically me and play calling. So we got to do a better job from that standpoint.
Do you feel like him throwing those deep balls, getting those touchdowns, having a pretty good game himself will help him gain confidence, get going here?
Yeah, it's a good question for him, but I don't look at Sam that he has a lack of confidence, so I don't see it that way.
The first and second down issue.
Yeah.
You're playing behind the downs about 36% of the time, mm-hmm. in a negative place. So what are some of the ways after your review this week that you think you can fix that?
Again, it depends. You can review what you did against another team, but then the next opponent that you have is going to play in a different style when you're there. But, you know, I think we got to put ourselves in a little bit more downhill situation so that we're not going to be in a negative situation. We got to make sure we've got some quick throws, maybe that we can get the ball out of the quarterback's hands that are nice, easy throws to get ourselves kind of get going. I think with this group, once you kind of establish and can get into a rhythm, we can be pretty good. And we did that, I think, in the second half. We established a little bit of a rhythm against the Redskins and resulted in a couple touchdown drives. But the key is just starting to get these guys into a rhythm.
You talked before about some of the similarities between DeMarco and Ryan in terms of their north-south running.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not exactly alike. What are some of the differences in their styles?
I don't see much difference, to be honest with you. I think they're both tough, hard-nosed, physical guys that are going to make one decision on their cut and stick their foot in the ground and go. You know, and I think that's why I say they are similar. I think they're a lot more similar than they are different, to be honest with you.
Chip, you said you question some of your play calling, or you have to, whatever you do.
Well, yeah, you have to. They're not successful. I mean, you can't sit there and say it's working. I mean, we're not successful on first and second down. We haven't been successful in the first half of game. So,
is part of that maybe use of personnel or different personnel that you could use in those situations?
Nah, I just think it's us knowing what our players can do and putting them in better situations. I think we have the right personnel here. No question about that.
And the use of the personnel that you use in those situations, you think that's been fine? Or
I don't understand what you're saying.
Well, could you use different personnel in different situations?
Yeah, the 46 guys available to us, yeah. I mean, that's what we're doing. So, I mean, it's putting them in situations where they can make plays, though.
What's keeping Huff from having the eight-figure role?
He was hurt. You know, he didn't play versus the Jets and didn't practice until later in the week last week. So it's just an injury that hurt him. And I think when he's back full speed, before that he was playing 30-plus snaps a game and was good. But, he went down the Saturday of the Jets game in training, you know, when we were up at Monmouth and didn't play in that game. So, I mean, it's tough to be productive when you're not out on the field. So
he said he was 100%.
Yeah, but he didn't practice during the week. So if he got recovered towards the end of the week, you already have your game plan and other guys that practice those situations. So we can get a full week of practice out of him this week and see where he is from that standpoint. We need him to be a big contributor for us, but you also have to be healthy to be a contributor for us. So.
Well, do you see a guy like Nelson kind of having to learn on the fly? I mean, last time they obviously made a nice catch on the 45-yard pass.
I think Nelson's like most rookies. You know, you're going to get some real good plays out of him. I thought that he made a hell of a catch on that, on the post route that Sam threw. But he also made some mistakes. You know, I think that's part of the maturation process that goes along with it. He's certainly a very talented, highly skilled player that we're excited about. But you're going to have some ups and downs as you go through as a rookie in this league.
The coaching staff was high on Barber coming into the year. What's been holding him back during the first half?
Alan Barber.
Yeah, you guys are really high on him coming in.
Yeah, and I think Alan actually for us has actually graded up pretty good as at an offensive guard for us. So he's been better, a little bit better in pass pro than in the run game. His pass grades are probably a little bit higher than his run games, but I think he's been consistent, and we're pleased with Alan right now.
Which one's out still about the Saints?
Offensively, obviously, it starts with the quarterback. You know, he's been there for so long and has such a good grasp of what they're doing. They've changed a lot of parts around him, but Drew doesn't seem like he's missed a beat. Extremely accurate passer, one of the more accurate passers to ever play in this league. There's a lot of times where you'll say, boy, that guy's covered, and he throws it exactly where a lot of quarterbacks in those situations would say he's covered and move on to another guy, and he'll say he's covered, but he's not covered on his back left shoulder, and actually throw it to his back left shoulder. So, you know, you're dealing with a different type of quarterback than a lot of guys you see in the league. He's in that Aaron Rodgers category where you can say, hey, we got pretty good coverage on this play, but we don't because of where he exactly can place the football, and there aren't a lot of guys that can do that. They rotate three backs. I think the addition of C.J. Spiller has really helped them. You know, he obviously had an 80-yard touchdown in overtime against them on a wheel route where they caught him in a matchup where a linebacker was on him and the linebacker couldn't run with him. I've always admired the way C.J. played because he is one of those tough matchups. He's got a lot of Sproles characteristics to him. He's going to be a returner. And then defensively, they give you so many different looks. They're very multiple in what they do. You know, you're going to see Tampa 2 on one play, then you're going to see a zero blitz with everybody in press man across the board on the next play. So there's a lot of multiplicity in terms of what they're doing, and they seem like they got a lot of guys that are role-playing. So on one play, this guy's a Sam linebacker. On the next play, he's playing defensive line. And then on the next play, he's out in coverage. So, you know, you don't have a lot of keys, especially with only four games that you got a chance to look at, and the fact that they're all young players, and the fact that three or four of the guys in the secondary just got back last game. So it was the first time he had Bird, first time he had Keenan Lewis back. So what packages are you going to get from Rob, because his packages on the defensive side change week to week? You'll see a blitz in week one that you don't see again. You know, it seems like he has a new package for each team he's playing. So you can prepare for those, but you also got to be ready that he's going to give us some things on Sunday that we haven't seen yet from him.
Chip, last question, guys. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you used Drew as an example in the aftermath of trading for Sam. The idea of you're going to get a franchise quarterback one way is to find one who's been hurt and then trade for him. How deeply did you examine Drew's career, both before and after his injury, before deciding, hey, maybe we could try this with Sam? I mean, or did you just say, hey, there's an example?
No, we studied it, and I think, you know, when you look at his injury, and that's really a credit to him, no one has ever come back from what he came back from, so... You can see the case where people would say, don't take him, you know, and why that existed. And I'm sure, and you've heard Coach Saban has even commented on it, what would his career have been by Miami had been like if they had taken Drew as opposed to not taking Drew. And then you look at what the impact that he had. You know, it's a specific case, but, you know, I think it's the impacts he's had not only in this league, but, you know, in terms of what he's done. He's won them a Super Bowl. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback, you know, and I think that the reason he was available is because of the injury, is really what we kind of looked at. But I still think you have to look at the individual injuries and what they can come back from and what they can't come back from. And what he came back from our understanding of what that injury was and how they repaired that shoulder, I think he's the only guy that's ever come back from that. So, you know, that's kind of what you're facing. You got an unbelievable competitor that's going to give us a huge test in here on Sunday.
Okay. Thanks.